a look on the plague, and behold, if the plague is in the walls of the house with hollow strakes, greenish or reddish, which in sight are lower than the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days.
All this is dealing with uncleanness, what God has categorized as uncleanness, which the principle behind this is that God's not going to tolerate that. He wants that not in the camp. He wants it dealt with. And in this particular case, it's in the dwelling. And we can think of our dwelling as the body of man, okay, where the Spirit dwells. And here again, there's a particular protocol that the people had to follow, that the priest had to follow. But in this, even in this, you see the mercy of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the priest was called to a house where there was suspicion of what's called leprosy, some something probably like mold, mildew, something in that category. If he went into the house and pronounced it unclean while someone's in the house, everybody in the house is unclean. And so he would give them the opportunity for everybody to come out of the house before he went into the house. And this was by God's protocol. Then, if the house was unclean, those would not be unclean. But if they remained in the house, they would. It's just mercy. God's mm-hmm. merciful.
That's good. And the priest shall come again the seventh day and shall look, and behold, if the plague is spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place without the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust that they scrape off without the city into an unclean place. And they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones. And he shall take other mortar and shall plaster the house.
So he goes in the house and he sees this area that's affected by this particular problem. It's called leprosy here. And so he removed the stones from the house and then scraped the walls of the house. Then they plaster the house, but then it's quarantined. And here again you see seven again. 7 days, I believe, deals with the completion. And then he goes back in to inspect the house. If it has not spread the affected area before, you didn't see any spreading, then the house is pronounced clean, but if it does spread, then it's unclean.
I appreciate the fact that the Lord says, okay, if there's an issue with this, let's see if we can't take care of it. Let's do some housekeeping. Let's do some cleaning. Let's remove what is not good, and let's see if we can't fix this thing before completely writing it off. And then if we look, let me read verse 43. And if the plague comes again and breaks out in the house, after that he has taken away the stones, and after he has scraped the house, and after it is plastered, then the priest shall come and look, and behold, if the plague is spread in the house, it is a fretting leprosy in the house. It is unclean, and he shall break down the house, the stones of it, and the timber thereof, and all the mortar of the house. He shall carry them forth out of the city into an unclean place.
So if a suspected area had spread, now the house is unclean and to be totally destroyed, torn down, and the materials taken to an unclean place. Pretty tough, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a house torn down because of these type of things. Today we call it being condemned.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Only in this particular case, God wanted it out of the camp. all uncleanness out of the camp.
Mm-hmm. Moreover, he that goes into the house all the while that it is shut up shall be unclean until the evening. And he that lies in the house shall wash his clothes, and he that eats in the house shall wash his clothes.
So after the house is pronounced unclean, if someone goes in it, then they're unclean.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they can't stay in the house, but if they do, then they're unclean. And if they're unclean, they can't participate in anything that has to do with the holy things of God. They're an unclean person.
And the priest shall come in and look upon it, and behold, the plague has not spread in the house after the house was plastered. Then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the plague is healed.
So if the house this has not spread, the affected areas, it's not spread out, then he says the house is clean. But note that it's God that says it. In this case, God's representative, okay? But it's God that's declaring what's clean and unclean.
And he shall take to cleanse the house two birds and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And he shall kill the one of the birds in an earthen vessel over running water. And he shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet and the living bird and dip them in the blood of the slain bird and in the running water and sprinkle the house seven times. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird and with the running water and with the living bird and with the cedar wood and with the hyssop and with the scarlet.
This has some similarity to Leviticus 16, which we'll get to, obviously, a little bit later, in that there's a living and a dead, like a live goat and a scapegoat. The Lord's goat that was to be killed. The scapegoat was to be kept alive. Here you had two birds. One was to be killed. One was to be kept alive. One took care of the uncleanness, the sin problem. The other removed, so to speak. Okay? And then there was a proper protocol for doing this. And we can't overemphasize that. Everything had to be done God's way. Do I know all the detail of it? No. And honestly, I don't need to know all the detail because we're not practicing those things today, are we? Excuse me. We're not under the law. We're under grace. But we glean the principle from that and realize that we need to not only be forgiven and cleansed, but we need that removed from us. And Jesus has done all that.
Mm-hmm.
Still breathing that stuff.
Yeah. Verse, let me catch up to Pete, 54. This is the law for all manner of plague of leprosy and scall, and for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, and for a rising and for a scab, for a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy.
You'll see civil laws in the law of Moses. You see dietary laws in the law of Moses, but you also see sanitary laws in the law. And this is part of that. And then we get into the next chapter. It's dealing with the human being, with the physical body, with the sanitary laws there.
You know, think about this notion of the clean and unclean. And without Jesus, we're just filthy rags. And it doesn't matter what we try to do to cleanse ourselves or how morally upright and upstanding we may be. We're still not clean unless we're clothed and united with Jesus Christ. And all that takes faith, doesn't it? But the Lord is so concerned about our total well-being that even in the law, he would make provision for, as Pete was saying, you know, the civil law, but right down to laws concerning like bodily discharges, which happen. They just do. For both men and women. In chapter 15, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say to them, When any man has a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue he is unclean."
This had to be taught. How would a person know whether they're clean or unclean? This is the law Moses is being taught. This is what God's regulation is for the nation of Israel. And if you think about this law was given to this one isolated nation. Right? God was making them a peculiar people from all other nations. Now, if one chose to proselyte, come into that nation, then they too were governed by the same law that the Jews were governed by. It's not that you bring your laws in, or that there's a double standard. There's one standard for everybody. And they had to do things God's way. And so here we're going to look at some things that's dealing with body discharges, where there's a discharge in the body, whether male or female, then it's considered to be unclean. And so one had to go through the procedures that God had laid out in order to be declared clean.
"And this shall be his uncleanness in his issue, whether his flesh run with his issue, or his flesh be stopped from his issue, it is his uncleanness. Every bed whereon he lieth that has the issue is unclean, and everything whereon he sitteth shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth his bed shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And he that sitteth on anything whereon he sat that hath the issue shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And he that toucheth the flesh of him that hath the issue shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even."
Now, this particular law covered any kind of discharge from a male. That could be anything from a leaky bladder to venereal disease, even a male ejaculation. These things were considered to be unclean, and a man had to bathe himself, and then he could be pronounced clean in the evening. Okay, but this covers the whole gamut of any kind of discharge that would come from the body. Okay, then it was declared to be unclean. What does all that mean? I guess God doesn't want anything coming from your body. Was it coming from your spirit? We're to be led by the spirit, not for our body. And we're not to let the body contaminate. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to go in here and look at some of this and you think it's unfair, but God's fair. God knows what he's doing. God knows why he's doing it. And what it's not our position to question the whys or the protocols and all this. Our position is just to obey God. Is that simple enough?
Mm-hmm. Verse 8. "And if he that hath the issue spit upon him that is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even."
Now, that almost seems unfair, right? Here an unclean guy spits on a clean guy, now the clean guy's become unclean because the other guy spit on him is unclean. So now he has to go through the procedures of cleansing. But God's trying to keep this nation peculiar. He is trying to keep them separate from all other nations in everything, in civil and dietary and sanitary, everything. In the religious laws, God was trying to keep them totally different from any other nation.
Yeah, you think about that, that they were surrounded with nations that served idols.
Mm-hmm.
Yet if they had kept their focus on the Lord, they had enough to focus on with this, didn't they? Enough to keep them occupied. They would have been clean by God's standard, but they just let themselves bump into the uncleanness, you know, let it rub off on them.
You think about this, if this affected any of the Levites, priests, mm-hmm. Then they could not carry on the service to the Lord. They were unclean.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to go through these procedures to be clean before they could touch anything holy or do anything as far as service to the Lord. God wanted them right and pure. Now, if you think about it, this is a forerunner of the body of Christ who's surrounded by perversity with all ungodliness of all kinds of nations. And God wants the body of Christ to be separate from other people to the point that we're considered peculiar. We're so different. You with me? But that's peculiar to the world, but it's not peculiar to God. It's just that we are dedicated to doing things God's way.
Even then, it was a disciplined life. We talk about how our walk of faith today is a disciplined life. This was a very, to me, disciplined life. I joked with Pete last week or the week before. I guess it's been a couple weeks now. He had this tremendous burn on his arm, and the thing was leaking some stuff.
So
you would have been going to the priest, buddy.
That's unclean. That would have been categorized. Well, it was. And of course, the fluid coming out of it. Then that's unclean.
It was unclean. Yeah.
But didn't feel good either.
It didn't look like it did, I'll tell you that. But
thank God it's healed.
Yeah. There was a point
I got
that,
the mark to prove.
Yeah. Verse 9. And what saddle soever he rideth upon that have the issue shall be unclean. And whosoever touches anything that was under him shall be unclean until the even. And he that beareth any of those things shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even.
So you couldn't sit in a chair, you couldn't sit on the bed, you couldn't ride in the same saddle. I mean, if you were unclean, you were unclean. Whatever you was touching was unclean. And he says, keep yourself separate from the unclean things.
Sounds easy, doesn't it? But, I mean, you keep yourself separate from unclean things. But anything you sat on, anything you touched, you couldn't even ride your camel. That saddle became unclean. Everything. You think about how just the damage that things that God says are unclean does.
It's a strict way. God's way is a strict way. That's why you see in Matthew 7 that it's a straight gate, narrow way, as the King James Version says it, and few find it, because it is so strict. God wants us to be a peculiar people. Now, you can read the wrong thing into that and think, well, God just wants to deprive me of anything that would make me happy. No, God wants to give you true happiness. God wants to protect you from the pseudo things, pseudo happiness, okay? God wants us protected from those. And so he gives us strict walking orders. Be led by the Spirit. And so if you're led by the Spirit, then it suppresses the things of the flesh that would make you unclean and make you unacceptable or whatever, okay? We're not to blend into the world. We're to be so distinctly different that the world knows we're different. It's a strict life.
The world's going to know we're different by our attitude, by just the countenance that we carry with us. They should be seeing the countenance of the Lord on us, not sour, not frustrated, not unpleasant, per se. Verse 11. And whomsoever he toucheth that hath the issue, and hath not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean till the even.
That's pretty self-explanatory there.
Mm-hmm. And the vessel of earth that he toucheth, which hath the issue, shall be broken, and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water.
So if he touches a pottery vessel, it has to be broken. I mean, God's serious about this thing, you understand? Wooden vessel, then it has to be washed. I don't want anything contaminating. I don't want uncleanness spreading, okay?
That's good. And when he that hath an issue is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in running water, and shall be clean.
Now, note this is talking to, it says a ceremonial cleansing, okay? And so once a person is relieved of the discharge, then there's still this procedure he goes through, this ceremonial type procedure, and the bathing, the washing, the being clean until the evening. In other words, this is a declaration. You understand that you're demonstrating that you're clean.
Verse 14. And on the eighth day he shall take him 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and come before the Lord unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and give them unto the priest. And the priest shall offer them, the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord for his issue.
So not only is he bathed, but he also has to bring sacrifice to the priest, and a burnt offering and a sin offering. Okay? I mean, if you think about this, I mean, this is a lot of activity going on in the nation. But I'll tell you what it will do, give you an incentive to keep yourself clean.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all the rules and regulations that are laid out you're not wanting to just be isolated forever, and then, you know, there's bringing sacrifice every time too, as well. So this is, to me, it's an incentive to do everything in your power to stay clean. Okay.
Verse 16. And if any man's seed of copulation go out from him, then he shall wash all his flesh in water, and be unclean until the even. And every garment and every skin whereon is the seed of copulation shall be washed with water and be unclean until the even.
And I'm telling you, God's covering all the bases here. You understand? He will body in water and he'd be unclean to the evening. Any clothing that he had had to be washed. And all this, any articles that would be unclean until the evening.
The woman also with whom man shall lie with seed of copulation, they shall both bathe themselves in water and be unclean until the evening.
And this is something, I mean, man, you think about this. When a man had sexual intercourse with a woman, and there was a mission that said that in the previous verse about the man, now it's the woman, both of them are going to be unclean. And my thought about that, I mean, God said be fruitful and multiply. Would it be fruitful and multiply if it takes intercourse? And now here in the law, he's saying that you're unclean. And I've thought about it a lot, and I don't really have a good answer for you, other than the fact that it may cut out, what would be the word I want to use? It may curtail sex drive because of that, to where the body is not dominating. You with me? But everything that I've looked at in this, and the King James Version uses the word seed of copulation, and the seeds, obviously the sperm, and the copulation is deals with sexual intercourse, and so the sperm that's released in sexual intercourse would make the man unclean, released it, the woman unclean, that it was released into, and anything that it, you know, the clothes, the sheets, or whatever, then it would be unclean. Thank God we're not under the law. You understand? But this was the law of the Old Testament. You can understand why the Jews wanted to be like the other nations. They didn't want to follow these strict laws.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to be like the others that practiced promiscuity and practiced all kinds of things in their religion. This still goes on today where sex is part of the religion. You know, you have temple prostitutes that and the money goes into the treasury of the temple and all that type stuff. But it's ungodly. It's ungodly. God wants his people to be distinctly different. He wants his people to be clean. And so when he's talking about any type of discharge from the body, it's, boy, is he covering it. You want to add to that?
Not one thing.
Okay.
Verse 19. And if a woman has an issue, and her issue in her flesh is blood, she shall be put apart 7 days. And whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the even. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And whosoever toucheth anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And if it be on her bed or on anything whereon she sitteth, when he toucheth it, he shall be unclean until the even.
Now, you think about this. God designed the body of the woman. God designed that woman to have a menstrual period every month. And so every month, under normal conditions, this woman is going to be unclean during the menstrual period. Then she has to go through the cleansing processes every month. Now, if her husband touches her or anyone while she's in her menstrual period, then they're unclean. If they sat where she has sat, then they're unclean. Pretty strict laws, then. It's hard to imagine that, especially in a Western culture. And then, so for that period of time, that woman is like held at arm's length. Okay? Today, in this society, we'd call that rejection or whatever. But God ordained that for this particular society that was under the law of Moses. Okay? Now, I can't give you all the detail of the rationale, the reason, or whatever. But I just know God's smarter than I am. So I just go with what he has written. Then, if that menstrual period lasted longer, mm-hmm. as long as there's the flow of blood, the woman is unclean.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be just carte blanche so many days. No, this has to stop. Now, when you think about this, you can appreciate the risk the woman took to touch the garment of Jesus. Because when you look at the strictness of this, and that she's unclean, and so she pressed through the crowd, so she was touching people.
Mm-hmm.
And so ceremonially, everyone she touched would be unclean, even touching Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But he cleansed her, so he can't be guilty of being unclean, right? But that can make you appreciate the faith of this woman. Or it does me, anyway. Okay.
Yeah. You may read those verses. You may read that. You just talked about it.
Am I behind?
No, you're ahead. I'm behind. Why don't I move on to verse 28?
You can read all the way through 27 if you want to.
Okay. And if a woman has an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. Every bed whereon she lieth all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation, and whatsoever she sits upon shall be unclean, as the uncleanness of her separation. And whosoever touches those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and
now,
be unclean until the evening.
If you think about this, then the husband could not sleep with the wife during her menstrual cycle, right? Okay, if he did, then he's unclean, because she's unclean. And if you look at that superficial and you think, well, what in the world is going on? I mean, God designed it this way, and now God's given a law here that's declaring me unclean. But it's holding things in check, okay? It's just keeping things in check. To where a person is not dominated and driven by sex, so to speak, okay? But they keep this in proper confines, all right? And what God has laid out, what God has stated. And the man was not to have sexual intercourse with his wife while she is having her menstrual cycle. Because actually you'll get a little later on, and there's more said about that later on. But that would definitely make him unclean and could get him cut off from the nation. And so these are some tremendous sanitary laws that are given. And here again, when we're not under the law of Moses. I keep emphasizing that. But we must glean from the principle God wants us to keep ourselves clean from the ways of the world. God wants us to be led by the Spirit of God. God does not want our passions to control us. He wants His Word to control us. You with me? Even though He gives us the passion, God puts the sex drive in a person, but He wants that sex drive harnessed, okay? The sex drive's there to be fruitful and multiply. The sex drive gives one an incentive to do that, okay? But He wants all this thing kept controlled to where it's not dominating the person's life, okay? The time's up. We're going to have to stop here.